Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome to the Rainbow Coalition of Rock Medicine Women. You are listening to the beautiful music of Brother Wes Ricks from his CD, Two Worlds. Wow, that music is so very soothing and uplifting at the same time. We're very blessed to have Brother Wes Ricks as part of our family that blesses us and treats us with such royalty when they give us music like that. So welcome, welcome. We're here for another exciting adventure journey, overcoming NDD, Nature Deficit Disorder. And I am joined this evening, as usual, by my sister in Arizona, Mama AZ. Are you there, sister?
Yes, ma'am. Give thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, her joyful voice comes through clearly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes.
Oh, my sister, I give thanks to the Most High for you and just being able to sit in the sun and just let it radiate through my body for the tremendous healing of detoxification from medication that I've like been on for centuries. However, I give thanks. I give
Hallelujah.
Thanks for you even having the insight to open up this segment for us. Sister Sophia L., I hope that she's on another 336 is supposed to be there. Dot is 803. And there are hopefully many others that are listening in, other 336s. So give thanks, sister. You're doing good.
I'm doing great. I am so blessed today. I'm just swimming in blessings. And I do see Dot, 803 number is here. Shall we, Dot, if you're there, can you hit number one and we'll bring you in on the mic? And we're just pleased to, there's Dot. We'll introduce, you can introduce Dot for us, Mama AZ.
Oh, give thanks. Well, this sister, this beautiful sister, I met her at what you call feast. It's a gathering that Baha'is get together and have with sharing food and prayers and what have you. And Winnie, a very, very powerful elder, was gifted by her daughter a picture that reminded me of Chief Frank Fool's Crow. And it came from Dot. Well, that they wouldn't tell me how to get in touch with her, but I found out how. And it kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me, and I said, the heck with this. I'm going to reach out to this sister. And the rest is history. And I'm telling you, this is a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal woman. And I am so grateful to the Most High that Dot entered into my circle with her healing drum, her art, and her knowledges of ancient wisdom with the Sweat Lodge. I'm proud of
welcome,
you. I love
welcome,
you,
Dot. Welcome. Thank you, Dot. We welcome you.
Thank you, AZ.
Thank God. If I start crying, that's just me.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, we like to know, Dot. I know I said last night, I'd like to know about your participation in the sweat lodges. That's very, very important. But I'd also like for once to know about your healing drum, because I have a healing drum called Mama Kahuna, and I informed Miss Regina, who's over in Waddell, Arizona. She has Papa. And could you just kind of tell us about your healing drum? And maybe either Miss Regina or Regina is on the other line, and push one when the time comes. I want to know about your healing drum, Doc, because it's no joke.
I guess I'd like to start where the drum came into my life. We have been doing prayer pipe circles at my farm on a monthly basis for about 18 years. Me and a few people moved to Camden, which is kind of the center of South Carolina. And we actually came together and opened a center for holistic development in South Carolina in Camden. And several people rented rooms in this center. And I used to run the bookstore and the gift shop. And we rented a room to a person, a Cherokee female named Lone Wolf Banks, who did, she was a shaman and a healer. And then we rented out a room to massage and different things, you know, that to heal the body, and sold herbs and stuff like that. And then we started having the pipe ceremonies at the farm. And we ended up building a lodge, and it was the first time I ever tended fire, but, you know, you do what you do. When you're asked to do something, I do things. I step up. But during our pipe circle, this was several years after it's been going on for a couple of years, people started bringing their drums, like African drums, native drums, rattles, tambourines and stuff. And after we would do prayer circle, which was the native, the prayer pipe going around the circle, we would do the talking bowl. And anyone could speak if they wanted to as the bowl went around. And then we would bless food and go in and eat because everybody brought covered dish. Then we would go back out and sit around the fire, and drums were being played. And one evening, someone handed me a drum and said, play my drum. And when I played, it was a Buffalo Remo drum. So it was a man-made drum, and it was about 18 inches across. And when I started playing it, I went somewhere else. I drummed everyone in a circle, and someone followed me with the drum. And I drummed everyone from the ground to their head, from the ground to their head. And when I finished, everybody kind of hollered and said, are you going to do that again next time we come? But I knew I had to have a drum after that, so I ordered one, and it came to the studio. I'm actually a full-time artist in Camden, and I've been doing art full-time for 32 years and making a living at it. And my art's always had native feeling to it, you know, the spirit of things. And then I do traditional stuff. But I ordered a drum, and it came to the studio, and I had it laying on my counter, and a mother and a daughter came in with a friend, and she kept staring at that drum laying there. And I said, would you like to hear it? And she said, oh, yes. And I started tapping the drum at her feet and went up straight up her body. And when I got to the top of her head, I backed off, and she started crying. And I knew she had released something. I knew it was a healing drum. And I do a ceremony around you. No one's taught me anything. I've actually made my own jingles, and I carry a medicine bag that has jingles on it, and I ask the drum to go where it needs to go and do what it needs to do. And I have drummed hundreds of people. I even take it to the show, and people are, like, transformed. I spin people. I flip them. It's amazing what happens. I've become the living word, and I'm on point. In the now. And it's just an incredible journey. Incredible journey.
Mm.
And in the process of doing that, we also went to Springbank. I always wanted to go. I heard it was a retreat center where they do Native American stuff, and it's sisters that run it, Catholic sisters, but you wouldn't think they were Catholic sisters. But I went there with my friend Lone Wolf to do a sweat lodge probably 17 years ago. And I was the firekeeper for a lodge that they had asked her to do. And that evening, Grandmother Carla, who had studied with Buck Ghost Horse, I don't know if anyone knows Buck Ghost Horse, he's passed now, but she asked me to be her firekeeper for the lodges. And I have been the firekeeper for any lodge at Springbank for the past 17 years.
Awesome.
Wow, Dot, I didn't know all of that. Oh, this is such it's like, you know, Sunday is the 12th. It will be a year for the 144 women birthing a new world that was held at South Mountain, where if you go up on the contraption, meaning the computer, and push up and punch in Phoenix Lights. That's the area where the 144 event was held. And I give thanks, Dot, that your spirit had the wisdom to pick up this drum and begin to use it as an instrument for healing of this planet, because Papa, hopefully, I know Mama Kahuna will be there. And now, what is your drum's name, Dot?
I have not named my drum.
It is
a medicine wheel, though. It's a medicine wheel. I drummed a friend of mine one time, and she channeled, when I finished drumming her, she channeled my Akashic page.
Hmm.
You know,
so it's a medicine, you said your drum is the medicine wheel then.
It is a medicine wheel, yeah. And I only had I only had bells on it when I first got it. I put bells in a circle on the back of the drum in a circle. And when I drummed her, she started channeling, and she said that I was here for masterhood, and death and earth would keep me from it, and my name was written on the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And to put six bells to the north, six to the south, three to the east, three to the west, and plant my seeds of intention in between, lead and guide them each one by one. And she said, I see a dove. So that day, my six bells, the only thing that had bells on it was the drum. So six to the north, south, east, west. It became the medicine wheel that day.
Wow. Wow. Now, do you know the date?
No.
Okay. Well, I have experienced Dot drum, her medicine wheel drum, several times. And she was kind enough to be a part of an event for Woman's Her Story Month, and it was incredible. It was incredible, people, to say the least. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that this is on an 8-day, the eagle, infinity, abundance, and all of the above, and anything else that 8 represents to anyone. I would love for you to share it. So, you know, I'm very thankful to all who have been a part of this life initiation in my vibration field. I give thanks. Go ahead, Dot.
And you want me to talk about what?
Now I have a question.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dot, for being on tonight and giving us this knowledge that so many of us are not even familiar with. You know, we grow up in families, and we think drumming is like two sticks hitting on some drums and some cymbals, and we rarely think about our ancestors who created the atmosphere and the energy for healing. So, I mean, we don't even think, I think the average person, maybe even listening, thinks drumming, two sticks, hitting on a drum. But you're talking hands-on drumming, right?
No, I actually have a beater that's a stick and covered with deer hide
on
the tip of it. So I have a stick that I beat it with, but it's probably got foam inside of it. And Sister Carla left it on the turtle head for me at the Sweat Lodge as a gift. And that's what I use to beat my drum with.
Okay.
I know the drum is heartbeat of Mother Earth. I know it brings you back to center. And when some people look at me and their eyes get real big, if I say, have you ever been drummed? And they go, what? Because they'll come into the studio, and I keep my drum and drum bag at that studio because that's where I mostly meet and talk to people. And sometime I'll ask them, would they like to experience a drumming? And they'll go, what? And their eyes get kind of big. And it kind of scares them a little bit sometimes, especially when you pull out this drum. My drum's 22 inches across.
Oh, wow.
And I know I've drummed about 20 people in a row. And they say, aren't you tired? And I say, I don't think about it. I just am in the now. But I tell them that it's like a massage from the inside out.
I love that. Now, do you do anything special to prepare to take that stick and start that rhythm and heal from the inside out? What do you do to prepare for that?
I have this bag that, because you start having a sage bowl. You have a sage bowl. If you sage all your instruments, I've made my jingles that slip on my leg with one of those slip knots, you know, that spring-loaded. So I can just step into them and slide them up and just go zip,
okay.
Zip, and they're on me. And I'm amazed that I came up with that idea. I said, why didn't I think of that sooner? And the voice said in my head, I have a voice in my head. We all do. But the voice said, when the student's ready, the master will appear.
Mm-hmm.
But I got this bag that is like a toolbox, a tool bag that they sell now. But it looks like it's the shape of a doctor's bag in a way. You know what I'm talking about? It has all these little compartments on the sides and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I have my sage bowl in there. I have a shell that someone gifted me. I have a rattle in there. I have sage. I have my jingles. I have my medicine bag. And then I have tobacco and stones and different gifts that people gift me, so many things. And my bag is like it's full. But I will sage my jingles, my bag, my drum, myself, and then I put on my jingles and bag, and then I have them stand. We have a round rug in our studio that's a circle, and it's a perfect circle, and it's the right diameter to have them stand in the center of it, and I sage them, and then I get them to, they can either stand or sit, whatever they feel like doing. I'll get a chair if they want to sit, because, you know, sometimes people don't want to they feel a little nervous about standing with their eyes closed. Have them close their eyes, and I lift the drum up and the beater and stand in an X position. And there's no words to stand in that moment of silence. But really what I'm saying is, I'm saying to the drum, go where you need to go and do what you need to do. Because sometimes it will go in a place and it will stay there. And I always go counterclockwise. I asked Spirit one time, I said, why do I don't even think about what direction I'm going. I start counterclockwise. I will walk around them, and the jingles are jingling, and I might start drumming softly and gently, and then it gets louder. And I go around them, and then I will either go in the front of them, and my jingles are still jingling. I had to kind of learn to keep my legs going while I'm beating the drum. It takes a talent sometimes to do that, especially when you stand still and your legs aren't moving. I like to keep that sound going because there's something about that sound.
Wow,
and I will drum
awesome.
Up the front of them, and I will stop on their heart. Most of the time these days, it's the heart that's being drummed the most. And then sometimes I'll go behind them, and I'll, like, snatch something off of them. The drum will just jerk away. Or it will stay on their knees. I never know where it's going to stay. It's kind of like I kind of step away and just become one with the drum. And then I will, in a moment, do a spin around and go back clockwise. And then I will end drumming gently. The jingles will start, cease to make noise softly, and then the drum will slowly fade away over their head. So I asked Spirit, what was I doing? Why do I always do it counterclockwise? Because here in our circle, we always do clockwise. We sage clockwise. We go clockwise. Pipe goes clockwise. The voice said, you're opening up their chakra system. And then you're closing up sacred sphere. People have vision sometime. You know, different people see different things. They'll say, man, you were over here and you were over there, and I felt you over here. You were the wind.
Now, have you ever thought, you mentioned you're drumming around the heart a lot. Have you ever thought about why that is so much? Do you think it has to do with woundedness in people, or is that the, because that's the central pump there, but why do you think it's the heart where you're giving the most attention to?
I've come to the place where I say the mind is the projector of light. The mind is the projector of light, and the heart has a mind, and we're moving to the feeling place of the heart. And I will say to people, your mind is a projector of the light, and your heart is the lens that you shine it through, and is also the lens that you receive in this place that you stand, because the heart has a mind, and it's waking up.
Heart is waking up.
Yes,
beautiful.
We're opening our lens. We're becoming the living word.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're going to quit talking about the stories and the past. I had a husband and wife come in this past week. The husband was Cherokee, and he started spewing out of his mouth about the white man and blah, 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 and I stood at him, and I said, here stands me, white woman, come back white this time, telling you that you're being a dog and you're throwing up. And what does a dog do when it throws up? It eats it. I says, that's what you're doing. I'm tired of those stories. I'm ready for you to stand in who you are and start seeing it as you want it to be and speak the words that you want to see. You are the living word now, and I am waking you up.
Wow, that's powerful. That says so much about this mind of being a victim and coming out of that. I was sharing last week about these four quadrants that Matt Kahn talks about we need to come out of if we're going to integrate our soul. And one of them is victim mind
and
entitlement. And yes, and entitlement
blaming.
And blaming, yes, and righteousness. And what you're saying about becoming the living word, oh my goodness, so many enlightened teachers like Bruce Lipton, I heard him talk about this, and Bruce Kahn too, is that so many people waiting for this Messiah to come back. When is he coming back?
Answer.
When is he coming back? He's coming. When you say becoming the living word, that's exactly what that means. That scripture is meant to tell. We are becoming the Messiah, the living word, the enlightened, the anointed ones. We are, and you are, oh my goodness, you are representing that in such a beautiful way.
I did a piece called Inception. It is
Inception.
I had a hard time naming it. Because first I thought of communion. I said, no, that's got too much on it. I've been asking for new words. I've been asking for new words, new language, because new language wakes up your mind. And when you wake up your mind, the magnificent machine that it is a magnificent machine. And it is an instrument, and every thought creates, thoughts become things. And when you start realizing that. But this piece that I started doing, it was wings, and it's 36 by 36. And it's a silver circle that's torn aluminum foil front and back so it glitters, that's torn in pieces and glued down with double stick tape. I'm a framer, an artist, and a caster, and do embossing. I'm you have to check out my webpage sometime, docgoodwin.com. But this piece, I was told to do wings, and the wings had to curve out. They're 3D, and I was going to pour them in plaster, and I poured the shape to get that quarter of a curve coming out to hold you in a channel. A channel is what it created. And in the middle of that channel between these two wings that come out and up, I was going to carve them out of plaster. And then when I went back to pick up the plaster, I said, too heavy, too 3D, and I threw them in the trash can. I constructed the wings out of thick foam core. And they are magnificent. And when you stand in front of, and I threw in the center of it is the Kabbalah, or Kabbalah, the tree of life. I was told 12 orbs instead of 11. There's 12 dowels that hold these three brass rods, 2 or 3 inches off the masonite. The third one is 4 inches off the masonite in the center. And there's glob glass backed with gold foil. So these glow, these orbs glow. And the 12th one on top is blue. And I asked Spirit, what's the 12th and what it stands for? He said, you're finding your voice. Finding your voice. And I said, I know what the two brass rods are. It's polarity, balance, and polarity. I said, what's the third one? And the voice said, neutral. Neutral, because we have to learn to quit reacting.
Oh, yes.
We have to quit splitting the atom. I stared in the mirror in the bathroom in 2005, and I stared in my eyes, deep in my eyes, and I said, whatever happens to you in there happens to me out here. Whatever happens to me out here happens to you in there. And the voice said, quit splitting the atom. I got real still with that, and I knew it meant quit being reactive. I took a breath, and my mind likes to dissect things, and I said A-T-O-M, Adam, and then I said A-D-A-M, and then I said, whoa, man, first split. I said, oh, my God, we can't even balance polarity in our masculine and feminine, much less one another. We can't even do it in our own being. So I went and sat on the porch in a swing to be still with that, because that was powerful.
Yes.
And there was a disc on my porch, and it was convex and concave, and it spun with the wind, and it was going shiny shadow, shiny shadow, shiny shadow. And I sat there being mesmerized by it. And the voice in my head spoke again and said, bend the light. Don't break the light. I said, teach me that, Lord. Now, I was raised Southern Baptist, so I have the word running through in scripture and stuff. So I use Lord or universe. I say universe now more than Lord. But 3 days later, I went out to the mailbox. There was trash on the road. I reacted to it in my head. I said, oh, those litter bugs, don't they know any better? And it felt like someone had punched me in the stomach. I felt the negative emotion that powerful. And I went, oh, my God, old way of thinking. I stepped sideways and changed my reception and transmission. I said, how do I want it to be and what would make me feel better? And then what popped in my head was clean and green. And then I took a breath and re-spirited myself. Respirate is a very good word. Respirate, re-spirit, very good word. I took a breath, and then I said, fresh mowed grass. When I took the next breath, I smelled it standing there on the side of the road. I took another breath. I smelled it again. I was so blown away by that that I knew I was a vibrational match to that frequency that it gave me boldness. And I said, how about a sign, Lord, that's positive about not littering, and I'm going to let you take care of it and let it go, and forgot about it. 2 weeks go by, I'm coming and going. I'm coming and going down my road to my house out in the country. In 2 weeks, I noticed that it was mowed, and it was clean, and it was green. I said, yes, are you feeling this? I want more things like this to feel like this about. I rounded the curve right where I thought the sign should be. There's a sign. It's still there. It says, thank you for not littering. All power is given to us in heaven and earth, but we don't believe it. Nor do we take the time to even talk about it. Nor are we with others that help lift us up. I've been asking for L-I-K-E-minded people about 15 years ago. Then I asked for L-I-G-H-T-minded people about 5 years ago. And just recently, I'm asking for delightful people.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm surprised that you're a Southern Baptist background. I was trying to guess, okay, what is her background? When
you
mentioned Kabbalah,
you
got
the answer,
maybe she's Jewish. I thought she was thinking maybe she's Jewish, Kabbalah. But it just goes to show you how we all started out in this earth, in the womb, and how we have come thus far. I just turned 60, and so I look back on my journey thus far, and I'm just amazed sometimes, starting in a little Church of God in Christ in my grandfather's church and going through the Methodist church and the I didn't go Catholic, I didn't do that route, but Baptist, Messianic. It's amazing. Now, your parents were raised you Southern Baptists?
Both of them were. Yeah, my grandparents, too.
Yeah.
Born on
grandparents
a farm. Yeah, I was born on a farm in a farmhouse and slept in a dresser drawer. Poor farmers.
Oh, my goodness.
And then my father had went to war, and he came back and got married, and then I came along, and then he said he wouldn't tell a mule to get up if it sat in his lap.
Oh, my.
And he went back into the service, so we traveled a little bit. So I'm a military brat, and then I also joined the military as an art and craft instructor in the U.S. Army 03 Delta 20 Art and Craft Specialist.
What? I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I made him find it because I was a kid that went to the hobby shop on a military base.
Now, your parents still living?
No.
No, okay. So they wouldn't, would you think they'd be surprised at your drumming and where you are now?
Oh, they'd probably think I was, one of my aunts, I drummed my cousin outside in my aunt's yard, who's very, very Christian. Oh, my God, very Christian. And when I go to the reunions, I have to watch what I say because I can get kind of, they'll kind of get into my stump a little bit. Yeah, well, and I drummed my cousin and my aunt walked by several times, but she didn't interrupt us, which was incredible because my cousin was, like, blown away. But my aunt, she gets a little... My dad was the only male, and he had five sisters, and there's only one sister left now. But it's interesting, but her son at the reunion came up to me, and he said, because I'd said something to someone, and I knew I shouldn't have said it, but my other cousin said, teach them what you taught me, because she told me, she said, you have taught me more than I've ever learned in church, Doc. And my cousin came up to me and wanted to know what Jesus had to do with all of that. And I said, let me fast forward it for you. He will return. He will return. He'll take the church, the bride. The two will be one. You're the Son of God, be it now. What are you waiting for? Because y'all are in a holding pattern.
Oh, boy.
Did he fall out of his chair? He didn't know what to say. Because I get wound. I get passionate about when I talk about spirit. I get very passionate about it. I write a lot of stuff, and I'm not really a writer, but I'm going to read you something that I wrote one time, having coffee with myself and praying for a friend of mine that I'd talked to the night before that had a broken heart. And this is what, I sat there at the table sipping my coffee, and I just started praying for her. And I had to pick up a pen and write, and this is what was given. When your heart breaks because of the contrast that you are living, know that spirit is the light of the answer that you desire. It is your North Star. When you are ready to focus upon it, you will turn away from the absence of it and be guided to the light that you have set in motion by your willingness to live the contrast.
Now, you were breaking up at the beginning of that. Can you read that one more time? I could hear the power in that. Can you read that one more time? North Star came out real strong for me. I don't know about everybody else.
Well,
but,
I got that
and
written
let me just,
in bold letters.
Let me just
I got
say,
that written in bold letters. North Star.
Let me just say this real quick, a little commercial. If you're listening online and you want to comment or join in the conversation, the number is 215-383-5863. We would love to hear your stories of transition, transformation, and delightful transmission here. But we are so excited to have Dot. Your last name is Dublin, D-U-B-L-I-N?
Goodwin. No,
Goodwin. Goodwin. How did I get that?
Yep.
And that's dotgoodwin.com.
Yep. You can see my
okay,
arm.
So we have, Dot is going to read her poem again, which jumped out for me was that one of those two words. So do that again for us.
When your heart breaks because of the contrast that you are living, know that spirit is ignited and holds the light of the answer that you desire. It is your North Star. You are ready to focus upon it. You will turn away from the absence of it and be guided to the light that you have set in motion by your willingness to
oh,
live.
Oh, you're breaking up again.
You're still breaking up, Dot.
What?
How's
you're
your phone connection?
I'm on a landline, really. You know, I mean, it's one of those ones you pick up off and walk and talk with. I've never had any problems with it before.
I don't know.
Okay.
For some reason, when you started reading, you started breaking up, but you're clear otherwise. So we're going to ask you one more time. Read that before.
Okay. Here we go.
Yes.
When your heart breaks because of the contrast that you are living, know that spirit is ignited and holds the light of the answer that you desire. It is your North Star. When you are ready to focus upon it, you will turn away from the absence of it and be guided to the light that you have set in motion by your willingness to live the contrast.
Wow. Live the contrast. I love that too.
Now that piece that I did with that was Inception with the wings and the Kabbalah, I actually threw fabric like silk with twinkles and glitter that was in the fabric over the whole thing. So it has a veil over it. And when I threw that veil over it, my feet went deep in the earth. My totem animals stacked up on me alive, and I was anointed. And the first thing that came out of my mouth to someone that had the pleasure of being in front of me at that moment, who needed to be shocked the monkey mind, which I will do, I will tap you on the chest and say, clear, this came out of my mouth. The Bible is a coffin, and light casts a shadow, and we've given it a name, and it's L-I-V-E-D, and we've given it power over ourselves. How dumb is that? LIVED, past tense, LIVED, DEVIL. Hallelujah. Wake up.
Wake up, God.
We are waking up, surely.
We need to quit living in the past. The past is done. We need to wake up and be now. Present moment, on point, alive, now.
Now, may I interject something here? Dot?
Yes, ma'am.
I have been envisioning there is a powerful, powerful papa drum, sister. It belongs to Miss Regina out in Waddell. And her land is so powerful. It's by the White Tank Mountains. I want you to, the listening audience, you, everybody, look up White Tank Mountains. It's over there by Luke Air Force Base in Arizona, Litchfield. I have been envisioning that you helping when the time comes or teaching or guiding the women to the protocol for erecting the sweat lodge. I hope that Miss Regina or Regina is on the line. If you are, please push 1 because I'd like for you to say hello to Dot. But Dot, I've been envisioning the whole time seeing all of the women and the brothers who come to the drum circle, but mostly women, building a sweat lodge in Waddell by the White Tank Mountains. And Mama Kahuna, the Medicine Wheel drum, Papa, that's three. What does three represent to you, Doc?
You know, your GPS has to have 3 points of reference to tell you where to go, right?
No, mm-hmm. I do now. I do
knows
now.
It knows where you are. You have to put in where you want to go. And that satellite in the sky sees the bigger picture. Me, myself, and I, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, triangulate yourself. Don't strangulate yourself. Most people are A and B. You can't see the forest for the trees. But when you step away and be the observer, you can be the changer of your life because you're the one you've been waiting for.
Well, that's what Brother Kwame always says, too. I love it. I love it. Thank us. Thank us, thank us, thank us. Well, Doc, can you give us a little bit? How much time do we have, Sister Viata?
We have plenty of time. We have about 45 minutes. This is an hour and a half show, so 45 minutes left.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Don't see Regina. If Regina, you said Regina is her name?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Regina.
We're looking for a Regina, but I don't see her. She has. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not. What's her number?
622 or 602?
623.
It could be either.
There is a 623. Here we are, Regina. Regina, are you there?
I think so. I've never done this before, so can you hear me?
You did it. You did it.
Oh. Okay, is this the holder of the papa?
Yes.
Ooh. What is this? I'm already cold. It gives me chill bumps. Miss Regina, Dot, Miss Regina.
Hey,
Sister Viata, the host. And she's going to be seeing you shortly, too, Miss Regina. This is so great. This is so great.
It's been a pleasure listening to you, Dot.
Nice meeting you, Regina.
Nice
talking
meeting.
To everyone that's online here.
Yes.
Guess where I was Friday? Guess where I was Friday?
Where were you?
Friday. I was doing the Sweat Lodge at Springbank for Good Friday. They do the Stations of the Cross, and then at 3 o'clock they go into the tomb, which is the lodge. And, oh, my God, it was incredible.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Can you
tell us about that experience and your journey with Springbank and give the information? Because I really would love for us to go to
SpringbankRetreatCenter.org is how they're listed on the internet. SpringbankRetreatCenter, all one word, .org. It's an old plantation that these monks used to. It was transferred or gifted to be used for holy work or spiritual work, and these monks kind of had it for a while, and then they kind of let it go, and then these sisters kind of came there, and they decided, and this is about 20-something years ago, probably 25 years ago, they decided to make it a retreat center, and so it's a 501c3, they have a board of directors and all that stuff, and it's donations, and people pay to come and do all these different kind of programs. It's all kinds of different programs that they do, basket weaving, drum making, painting classes, music. Each year it changes and they do different things, but they always have at least three sweat lodges. They always do the Easter thing and they do a lodge, and then they'll do a spirit quest. It's not a vision quest, it's a spirit quest, because they send you out in the woods for 5 hours, and then you come into the lodge and they do 4 rounds. A lodge, how many, are all of y'all familiar with a sweat lodge? Or?
No, tell us about it.
Well, I've learned it by just jumping in there and being, you know, hey, you're the fire keeper, heat the rocks. Now, I can build a fire, but you learn how to build fires different with different people that are the water pours for the lodge. And I've done sweat lodges with, Lone Wolf Banks, Sister Carla, who was studied with Buck Ghost Horse, Sister Mary Ray, Grandmother June, who's Cherokee, grandmother in Florida, Wind Daughter, chief of the Sun Bear Tribe, Eagle Man, Ed McGaw, I've been his fire keeper, Talking Bear out from Washington State, Deer Heart. I've been the fire keeper for quite a few people. I've been doing it for 17 years. And out of each one, they always have 4 rounds. That's one thing which is you go in the lodge and the stones are put in the lodge. They're either moved in there by deer antlers or different people has different ways of doing things. Everybody has their own tradition of how they do things. But one thing that is consistent, they do about 28 to 30 stones. They're brought in rounds. There's usually 4 rounds, and they'll ask for 7 stones, and they're swept off. We sweep ours off, and we dip the whisk broom in water to get the soot and stuff off so we don't create a lot of smoke in the lodge. And we bring them to the lodge door with the pitchfork, and they lift them off with the deer antlers. Now, this last time, she didn't want to lift them with the deer antlers. You know, when they start getting older, it's kind of hard to lift a lot of hot rocks with your hands so close to it. It kind of burns the hair off your hands. Because these hot rocks are red hot. They are red hot. And I brought them all the way to, there's a pit inside the lodge that's dug out in a circle. That's where the rocks go. That dirt is brought outside and made a mound in front of the lodge. The lodge is the turtle, and the mound and altar outside is the head of the turtle. And the fire pit, there's a straight line from the fire pit to the turtle head to the circle in the center of the lodge. The lodge is covered we cover ours with black canvas. Someone had black canvas made for this lodge, and it has wide Velcro that grows across the top center of it. So it's two half circles that cover a sphere that's a pretty big lodge. It's 16 saplings that are brought together, and at the top center of it, you have to bow low because it's low for you to humble yourself to go inside a lodge. But the top center of a lodge, if it is put together properly, creates an 8-point star, the hoop of life. And the rocks are heated. I do the wood different than anyone else, because I've learned how to do it the fastest way that I think is the fastest way to do it, from doing it different ways for different people. Usually they give me free will to set the stone, to set the wood, and I dig a horseshoe shape with rocks around it at the fire pit. And what I do is I lay two big limbs of wood, and then I build like a raft. And I've kind of dug a trench under that raft, and all my kindling and pine straw, whatever, goes under there. So I'm building like a grill, and I put the rocks on top of that grill. And those rocks will be hot enough after you put all branches and limbs and stuff on it, and then wood, and you pile it on the rocks that are sitting on this platform. They will be hot enough, red hot, in 1 hour.
Wow.
They, most people say two hours. They'll be red hot in 1 hour.
Wow.
When I hit that fat lighter, I started with flint and magnesium and a striker. I just hit that flint, and it hits that magnesium, and I have fat lighter there. Everybody know what fat lighter is? It's sap pine wood.
Well, can you explain it? Can you explain what?
When lightning strikes a tree, a pine tree in particular, that sap will concentrate itself in the center of that tree, and most of it, when it rots away, there will be that concentrated pine sap in that wood, and it will never rot. And it is full of sap. And you can take your lighter and just light the end of that wood, and it will turn into black flame and smoke. It is highly combustible. Sometimes I take Christmas tree limbs and put them under the raft, you know, in that trench or tunnel. It's a tunnel. It kind of reminds me, we used to cure tobacco in a tobacco barn, and it was like a horseshoe tunnel made out of cement and rocks. And it was like you could walk on your hands and knees like a cave all the way around, and we would put strips of wood in there and light it up and bake it. So it's kind of like I'll still put sticks and stuff under that tunnel and keep that fire under the rocks going the hottest. And then it takes over the whole thing. It's a plume of flames. I mean, once you light that, it's just, you know, you put pine straw. Pine straw is highly flammable. Christmas tree limbs are highly flammable. And dry leaves, or sometimes I take hay because I have horses in my yard, which is a dream come true. And they were both kids.
Now, Dot, let me ask you this. I'm listening. What would it take for you to teach us here in Arizona how to do that?
Willing people.
Wait, repeat that. You broke up.
Willing people. It's work. It's a lot of work. It really is.
It is a lot of work.
It is a lot. To build a lodge, you have to have saplings that are probably an inch and a half in diameter, and they're probably about 10 feet long. You know, cut trees. And they have to be either put in a bucket of water, or you're going to have to build it right after you cut them, because they have to be flexible so you can bend them in that. Yeah. And to do the holes, oh, my God, I told Trina, I said, you get the men to build the lodge, because I'm not pounding those holes in the ground with that tamper anymore, because my shoulders aren't what they used to be. I'm 66 years old, but you wouldn't know that.
I know you don't.
But I said to Trina, she said, could you help us build a lodge? I said, get the men to do it. I said, call Rick Miller, tell him you want him to come and do a lodge, and he will get some men, and they'll come and do it. And they will, if you ask them, you know. And,
Now let me ask a question. This is Bianca. You said it's a lot of work, but I'm thinking, what's the spiritual benefit, intention? I think what people want to know. I remember some bad press about sweat lodges. Some guy was doing a huge sweat lodge.
What did they cover it with? What did they cover it with? Could it breathe?
That was the issue. Yeah.
Was it?
So
know what they covered. I've probably done 100 lodges, never had a problem with anything, with anybody.
So he was inexperienced.
When you say all my relations, that door will open and you can go out. No one is held. No one is held into a place. No one is made to feel like it's an endurance or anything. It's prayer. It is a prayer circle.
That's right.
And if you can't sit in that place, you can sit outside of it and still hear the prayers. And if you want to get out at any time, all you have to say is, all my relations are let me out, and that door will open, and you can come out. We have never
had
any
problems. So if we want to encourage someone to do the, quote, work involved, what they want to know, well, what do I get out of it? What's the other? It's a prayer event.
It's a prayer, a meditation event.
And so it's meant to help you ascend spiritually, would you say?
It also is You know, people do saunas to sweat the toxins out of their body.
Right.
That's what it is. It's a
sweat. Okay. So
you're gonna be sweating.
Okay.
And you're gonna be praying, and you're gonna be singing, and you're gonna be sweating,
okay.
And you're gonna be praying, and you're gonna be singing. And then they do give bottles of water in there. You know, they do let them drink water if they, you know, at a certain round they'll say, okay, everybody can drink now. Just when we open the door, it's kind of like, okay, a breath, and the air comes in, and the smoke rolls out. And everybody kind of talks, and then they call for the rocks again. And when the rocks start coming in, everybody gets quiet. They'll go, ooh, because the rocks are red, and they glow in the dark. And they'll sprinkle sweet grass on it, or some people put kapal on it, which is a resin from a tree.
God, get
yes,
ready.
Ma'am.
Wait, get ready. I'm gonna dream you here. After seeing Miss Regina's spot, this is perfect. Miss Regina, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm listening. I'm taking it all in, Dot. You're an amazing woman.
Oh, okay, now tell her about, if you don't mind, Miss Regina, please tell her about Papa and your land and your mission. You know, I was there for a drum circle and chanting, and then I tell you, it was off the freaking chain. in a good way. And oh my God, Miss Regina, this place is awesome. I'll be quiet. Go ahead, Miss Regina. Can you interject to the universe, Dot, Sister Viata, and others, what your mission is with Papa, and what you want to do? I'll be quiet.
Well, I'm sort of. Well, you know, I'm not well seasoned like you are as far as the years of experience that it sounds that you have. I'm relatively new to drumming, although it just strikes my soul. I love to drum, and I just happened to run across this really incredible drum, and I because it resonates so deep that I refer to it as a father drum, and he just has this incredible tone, so I've recently really started a drum circle at my property, and the land is it's very interesting because. It has
that's an understatement, Miss Regina. Very interesting is an understatement.
The more that people come, the more that you know. And they realize they can just feel the energy of the trees, the energy of the different energies just. Present there, so it's a sort of a work in progress at this point as to the direction and what's to come. I think there are just because of the land itself and the energy and environment that I would like to create. So it's just like an envisioning process at this point.
Well,
hallelujah.
It will
hallelujah.
Have it
we
will
have,
create its momentum.
Yes, we have another caller with their hand up. I believe this is JoJo. JoJo, are you there?
Hi, guys.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey,
where have you been? How are you? What you doing? Fill us in.
I'm out here planting seeds. I'm on my way to Kentucky. They're having the Rolex horse shows up there on the 21st to 22nd. I have found a lot of planting of the seeds with a whole new, they've always been there, but I'm not discovering this. We have equestrian. We have the people that are so connected to these wonderful, beautiful horses. I mean, these people are like, I have never seen anything in my life like it. I am following them. I am dropping seeds. I'm talking to some of the people in Georgia. They had a very, very big Perry, in Perry, a great big, beautiful equestrian show at the Georgia Agricultural and Fair Ground. Yeah. And for 3 days I was here. That's why I couldn't get to anybody, because I wanted to, you know, just be in this beautiful, beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It gives you so much satisfaction, but the energy of what you have with God, Jesus, and the angels. You know, I always take those guys with me. I mean, it was like unbelievable. These people, you could stay on the fields, morning, noon, and night, sleep in the van, sleep in the, they have RVs. These trailers that they have, these horses, the cheapest is $45,000 to $250,000 to $1 million these horses were. And, but I, that doesn't matter, but I'm just looking at this. And it's like, I only wish my smartphone working, because I have a lot of video I want to send over once I have that thing activated. But meanwhile, let's see, I went to Georgia. That was in Georgia. Florida was okay. I've had to just went down to the Ocala Agricultural Horse Show and Horse Park where they have family, and they had a beautiful thing going. And one of the women said, you know what, Josette, what's good? We're having it come up, the Rolex horse show is coming up in Kentucky on the 21st and 22nd. You've got to make sure you make reservations for the campground. And she's going on and on. And I said, oh, I wouldn't worry about that. I know where I have to park. God already has it there. And they all left. There, I'll tell you one thing. These people that are in this circle and this sphere have nothing but God, Jesus, and the angels. They are very, very high when it comes to the belief of God and the higher up. And it's unbelievable. Everybody that I deal with there, all I got to do is mention Jesus. They're going, oh, that's it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to believe in Jesus. You go and fall without God. And it's so beautiful. And let me tell you, you know how they have security in a lot of places? You can't go near the stables. You can't touch the horses. That is scrubbed. Everything is just go and do it. Natural, nature. Talk about trees. Talk about fields. I just got finished going through Ocala, Florida. Oh, my God. I don't know. They always said that in the center part of Florida, in Ocala, in that area, it's nothing but horse farms. Horse farms. You're talking racing horses. You're talking about equestrian horses. I have so much more to tell you, but I don't know.
Well, you are certainly bringing together the country as far as what's going on in Kentucky versus Arizona. This to me is going back to Don's point that live the contrast, because you know you just shared with us a very interesting contrast to the sweat lodge, the drumming.
Yeah.
And the people who are very religious minded, but yet they're living the contrast. Wow. How did you figure that out to bring that together like that? Dot,
you know, I wanted to ask you also. We're talking, I came in, I was listening between making some notes on what I was doing and listening to what you guys say. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, which, you know, I'm a lot wrong, whatever, okay. But, could it be, do you combine the drumming with the sweat lodge? Do you do both together?
The
Native American Indian, from what I remember, they were very, very into that with sweat lodge, but they always kind of like had, they were doing like these spiritual dances with the drumming. I may be wrong. Do you guys do something like that, or can something like that be done?
Well,
or
on the third round, one of the people that was in the lodge asked me to bring her drum, and they did it singing with the drum in the lodge. It depends on the waterfall and what they want to do. I don't do the healing drum. I do that after dinner in the chapel, and this last time, Friday night, I did it outside. And one, Father Tom went and got a chair for us. Father Tom.
Yeah.
Wanted to be drummed. I thought it was amazing. They stood in line and waited their turn, and I drummed probably people in a row.
Wow. Oh, JoJo, I would love for you to experience Papa and Medicine Wheel, Dot on one side, Miss Regina on the other, and I will take Mama Kahuna and be right in the center, and we would just drum everything away that is not to be in your body, JoJo. I can see that.
There's something else I wanted to tell you. What I did, stuff like this is what I do now that I'm out here. And I'm really, really out here on planting the seed. As we talked about, exactly when Diane, is that the one? Was it Diana who kind of like we created this together, Diana, when she was on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Anyway. Things like this are what I'm starting to do. I'm becoming, not brazen, but I'm becoming very, very brave. I forget what road I was driving down. I think it was over in Terry. And they have a tremendous prison there. And all the prisoners were out in the exercise yard. And they were all, you know, it must be a couple hundred of them, I don't know. I pulled the van over and I got out. And there's a gully between the fence and where I was. And I lifted up my hands, and I started singing. I started singing to these guys, like, I mean, reach out to Jesus. I was going nuts, and then they will stop. And they will go, yeah, reach out to Jesus. I said, I got to get out of here before something rises up in front of me. They're going to come out with the shotgun and say, move on. It was, like, unbelievable. And they, and it was like they all stopped someone good. And then I said, so I got in the van, and I said, just go. I left it, I dropped it. I do that. That's why there's a lot of things I really don't remember doing what I did out here, because I just feel, well, God, just do it and move on. But that's one thing that stood out in my mind. And when I was coming back, I had to turn around. They were all waving and saying, hallelujah, thank you, thank you. And I went and I said, well, that was a good plant that I see. Good seed I planted. All right, next. This is what I've been doing. on and on. Crazy stuff. Yeah.
Now, let me just say this in case there's anyone listening who doesn't know who JoJo is. JoJo is a nomad who is planting seeds all over the country. Right now she's on the East Coast, or wait, Kentucky's kind of Midwest, or what is Kentucky?
Yeah, that's
where
is Kentucky? You have Florida, you have Georgia, Tennessee, and then Kentucky.
Right. So
Johnny
you're still kind of on the East Coast.
We bless her every day
for seed planting. And then we have Arizona, which I'll be heading to next month, y'all willing, and enjoy some drumming and sweat lodges and mountains and ranges. And
how are you doing with your house? Is your house doing good?
We have an offer pending.
Good girl.
So
good girl.
Everything's moving along in perfect timing.
Great.
Hallelujah.
Excellent.
Well, listen, guys, I want to sign off because I'm tired, and I got to get up early in the morning and start heading out for Kentucky. I'm going to take my time going.
Thank us, JoJo. Thank us so much.
I'll call you.
Hello, JoJo.
Okay, baby. I love you all. Kisses and love. I got to go. The God's telling me I got to get on the road. Do more seeds.
Yes,
ma'am. Plenty
more
seeds. Okay. Love you all.
Love
us. Bye.
Bye.
Aho.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Dot and her poem, you started this, Dot.
Talking about the horses, I had put a rope across my gate and let my gelding out in the yard. And when she started talking about the horses, he ran past my window.
Oh boy. Well, you know Miss Regina has some horses, too.
I've always wanted a horse in the yard, and I have two horses in the yard. Oh, my God. I love it. I live my dream.
And where, what city are you in again?
I'm in Camden, South Carolina, the oldest inland city in South Carolina state. people of the world.
Oh, okay.
So we're a little town, very historical, oldest inland city, and we have the Carolina Cup and the Colonial Cup races here. We have one of the oldest polo fields in the nation.
Oh.
Mm.
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm learning something.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, drumming and stuff that's going on, and y'all are doing it there. My friend Brenda, who lives in Lugoff, which is like 20 minutes from my house, she has Land of Two Sands. You can look it up online, Facebook, Land of Two Sands. She had a chief Indian make her a grandmother drum out of an elk hide. We sit and play it at the fire near the medicine. She has Sweat Lodge. The blue people come to her, the blue people now. They're from the Palladians. And she paints these pictures that they tell her what to do. I'm telling you, I live in a place that has such amazing things happen that it blows my mind.
Oh, wow, Dot. Well, all I can say is I can see Papa. I can see Medicine Wheel. I can see Mama Kahuna and all the other drums surrounding them. And I can see that in the Sweat Lodge. I can see that.
Heaven is where we stand, and we're playing drums all over this planet.
Yeah.
We're doing sacred work all over this planet, and we're ringing in energy of the feminine energy because it's time to have intuitive action.
Go ahead, Dot.
Intuitive action, feminine energy going first for perfect action.
Yes. I give thanks for you saying that, Dot. I give thanks. And I'm just seeing you and Miss Regina connecting. Okay.
Well, we're
and sure. Regina, is Regina in Arizona?
Yes, ma'am. Miss Regina, tell them about the White Tank Mountains. Tell us.
I'm not sure if Miss Regina's on still on. She may have dropped off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't see her number here anymore. She was 623 number?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she dropped out for some reason.
Okay, she may have had to leave her office, and that's okay. She has a construction company. But anyway, this has been a beautiful thing, period, Dot. And just the fact that you're doing what you're doing means a lot to the whole planet. It means a lot. So, Sister Viata, do you have any other questions, or are there any other callers on?
No one with their hand up. Some good listeners there. If you have a question, hit one, or if you have a comment, if you want to share what you're doing in the earth to bring us back to health, the whole earth. This is so awesome that we're talking about the intuitiveness coming back. And the intuitive action and the feminine energy, because if you're not feeling that, there's something wrong with you, because there is so much energy going on in the feminine gender to heal the earth, and we're all doing our part. And just as her poem said, we are living the contrast. We are all different shades. We are different backgrounds, different religions, different cities. Different relationship contrasts, but we all have that intuitive nature that it's time to heal the earth and really rev up the energy and the action. So we are certainly in an exciting time for all this to happen.
Make yourself ready for the place that's ready for you.
Yes.
Well, and as Esther said, we were born for such a we were all born for such a time as this. Hallelujah.
Yes, Hallelujah. Well, what I'm having to learn being out here is to not let things get to me. And like you said earlier, Dot, not to react. Not to react. I'm talking to myself. I'm doing a mantra. Not to let it get to me. It is time for the feminine energy.
The responder.
To emerge. And I'm finding there is some opposition. And,
well, one just has to get their energy lined up and send your endless staff ahead of you, AZ.
All right, Dot. Okay. I overstand.
Did you hear
just
that?
Then.
If you you find resistance, it's time for you to step back a little bit and ask Spirit to go first, because God's in the details. All you got to do
ma'am.
Is pay attention.
Yes,
delegate.
Ma'am.
Delegate.
Delegate.
Yeah.
That's right.
10-4.
Have an endless
10-4. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. That's a big 10-4. I got it. I hear you now, Dot.
Be the tick and talk of things. Don't be talking what the things that you don't want to be ticking. Tick tock.
Repeat that. Repeat that?
Be the tick and talk of things. Don't be talking about the things you don't want to be ticking with.
Good one. That's a good one.
Aye. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So that means a lot of listening. I take that, too, as we're being good at listening. We're getting better at listening. And like you said, letting the angels handle it, letting our Creator and His messengers take care of things more than fretting over what's not happening or what is happening. Because we have an assignment. We've had this assignment from the beginning of time, and we're just fulfilling our assignment. And those who are who seem to be against us or in contrast, they're actually fulfilling their assignment, too, to help us listen. Back up, take note, keep going, and do what we were called to do.
That's right.
No matter what other people are doing, we are becoming more and more conscious. More and more conscious of who we are. The North Star. I think in Dot's poem, she said something about the North Star. Was that? Did you have something about the North Star? That keeps ringing in my head, that North Star.
Well, I got another one for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
This one came to me the other day, and I'm just taking it from memory because it popped right out of my mouth. When I'm in conversation with people, things just come out of my mouth, and I go, oh, you need to write that down.
Okay.
Are you ready? Light your own lamp, Aladdin, and know that the rubs are just for you to call forth your genius.
Oh, light your own lamp, Aladdin.
Light your own lamp, Aladdin. Know that the rubs are just for you to call forth your genius. Call forth your genie. Call forth your genie.
I got it.
You did. Click. Yes.
I got it. And I see purple.
Hallelujah.
Whatever that means, I see purple from that.
That's royalty. Purple is royalty.
Money changed its appearance a while back, you know. Does anyone have a problem with the money stuff? Currency?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Doc?
Currency. Okay, that's the new word for money, currency. But then the word now for it is breath.
You said breath?
Yeah, it comes in and goes out, and you don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Are you here feeling that one?
Oh.
And when I changed the word, because I've been doing this thing with money, I had to change the way I felt about it, and I knew I couldn't change the word. So because the way I felt about the word was not enough, so I changed the word to currency. And money changed its appearance during that time. Right after that, it changed its appearance. And then not too long ago, I changed it to breath, and then money changed its appearance again. The $10 bill has red on it and has we the people, parchment paper. Those presidents are no longer in the middle because you are in the middle of your money now. And the five has a big purple five on the back, and five is the I am, and purple is royalty, baby. So step it up into the glory of it. Breath.
Yes, God. Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Light
thing
the
about
fire,
money.
Too. That, yeah, that
the
breath
about,
to me is, indicates fire.
Yep, red is fire. We the people. It's inclusive.
We the people.
It's inclusive. We have to be inclusive.
Thank you, Dot, for that
about
knowledge.
P-A-I-N. We need to turn P-A-I-N into P-A-N-E and walk through the, step through the looking glass.
Wait, what now?
We have to change.
What?
We have to change pain, P-A-I-N, into P-A-N-E and walk, step through the looking glass.
Okay, P-A-N-E.
Yep. Which is glass pane, a window pane.
Oh.
I can see clearly now.
Oh. I can see clearly now.
Okay, Dad.
All right, I'm going to give you a poem that in my seeking of how do you work here, God, I came upon an old book in the tack room of my horse came to Camden first, and then I followed. But there was this old book that was in the bathroom of the tack room, and it was James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. And when I opened that old book, here's the poem that was in the front of that book. You ready for it? It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mind, and evermore he takes the pool of thought. And shaping what he wills brings forth a thousand joys, a thousand ills. He thinks in secret and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass.
Mm.
Wow.
Now, I didn't read that. I know that one by heart because I have been taking the tool of my mind and using it as the projector that it is.
Hmm.
Wow, God. Can you repeat
my emotions,
that for us again?
Huh?
Can you repeat that again?
The whole thing? Are you
of
ready?
Of course. I am.
Mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mind, and evermore he takes the tool of thought and shaping what he wills, brings forth a thousand ills. He thinks in secret and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass.
Hmm.
I'm going to take this other call. I'll be back, okay?
Okay. Sister?
It's the environment. It's the environment that reminds me of a scientist who writes about the cells in your body are affected by your environment. So your environment is your looking glass for you to be reminding yourself what needs to change.
That's right.
And what is good. Powerful.
That's right.
Very, very nice. Boy, we've had some interesting knowledge perspectives tonight. Wow. It's been beautiful. Yeah, these two ladies, these three ladies. So we're prepared for another week, another day of life to bring us joy.
And I give thanks. And
are you ready for this? It's ready for
go
you.
Ahead. Dot?
Yes, dear.
Thank
you
so much. And I'm going to sign off. My other people are calling me, meaning my stones. The sister called me and said, I'm home now. You can come and get your stones. And I'm preparing
for the ceremony that's going to be at the mountain Sunday. So there are certain stones that are screaming for me to come and get them to be a part of this event. So while I have the stamina and I'm feeling pretty good, I'm going to go up the road there with my little trolley and my walker and get my stone. So I'll take some pictures, and you can sit to the other, and I'll send them to you so you can see what I'm talking about.
That'd be awesome. Great. Thank you. Thank God.
Now, Doc, do you have a cell phone where I can send you pictures, or yours doesn't get it?
It does.
Okay.
You can do pictures.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, text me the
number. I love them.
Ma'am?
I said I want to tell everybody I love them.
Oh, I
love you back.
Love
you back.
Give thanks. I'm going to sign off, ladies.
I'm signing off, too. All right, everybody have a good week.
You have a great week.
Thank you, you
too.
Blessings, and much shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, my host.
We're going to sign off with Wes Ricks playing us out. Thank you and shalom.
Shalom, I hope.